At California Psychics, we know that sometimes you can wake up thinking,
ugh, I don't know if I'm in the right career. Ew. Or the right relationship.
But whatever your life dilemma, at California Psychics, we'll give you the guidance you need to feel certain about your life choices. And because we only connect you with the very best, we guarantee if your reading isn't life-changing, it's free. California Psychics. Call 1-800-PREDICT today and get 20 minutes for just $20.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The moment you have been waiting for.
Don't get me wrong, I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom.
Andy's out, Ryan and Brad are in.
Goodness sake, kid, keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
This is the Manny Fry Show.
One of the things they don't tell you when you go to host is not to put a big bite of food in your mouth before.
Things you need to learn, right?
You go on, and that's what we're dealing with here.
No, don't do that.
I'm not. I'm okay. I got it out barely. This is the Annie Fry Show. It's the Manny Fry Show because it is just us guys hosting today. Brad Range, I am Ryan Wiggins. Ethan Hannaford will be in just a second. I am struggling with the sugar thing. I'm still doing the weekend thing where I can eat. So my diet right now that I've decided on for myself is that I eat no added sugar during the week. And then I allow myself to have added sugar and candy and whatever I want really on the weekends. And I thought what was going to happen was I would begin to change my lifestyle enough that by the time I get to the weekend, yeah, I'll have something here and there. But what's happening is Monday through Friday, I'm doing pretty good, actually. I've gotten better because I was really struggling the first couple weeks. But then I hit Saturday and I'm like, Reese's. Gummy bears, just like everything all the time. And I think I'm kind of overdoing it from what I even did. So what I was currently eating right before we went on just now was a bar that tastes like dried chalk.
Yeah, that sounds great.
But it has no sugar. It has some nuts in it.
That's why it tastes
some
like
apples. And it's just very dry. And I'm like, oh gosh, why am I doing this? So I mentioned before the break that we were going to do this topic, and we're going to do it now. The topic is how our lives will change dramatically in 20 years.
So this topic or this article is written what year?
2017.
Okay.
So we're talking about 8 years ago. We're not quite halfway through, but we're close. Halfway through the 20 years that it is throwing out as predictions for whether we should, whether this is going to happen in the next 20 years or not. Okay? So I'm going to read it to you, and then we will collectively, assuming Ethan decides to actually come in for the segment since he said he was going to, collectively decide whether we think that this either has happened or is still going to happen. Like, it looks like, yeah, we are headed in that direction, or no, this is definitely not going to happen. First one, from 2017. Software will disrupt most traditional industries in the next 5 to 10 years.
Software will.
That seems really vague.
Yeah.
I think that probably has happened, but I would think it already had happened by then.
Well, yeah, but I think this is, like, whenever you talk about that, you're talking about something like AI. AI is software. you know, it's the programming that is in the computers.
Well, they get to AI separately, though, in this. So this seems to be just about software. It will disrupt most traditional industries in the next 5 to 10 years, which we're already there.
Yeah.
I would say, I guess, yes.
I'm going to say I don't feel like software has disrupted anything. Like
it just continues to grow, right?
It grows, but it becomes a useful tool. It doesn't upset the apple cart.
Yeah, disrupt doesn't really make sense there.
Yeah.
So we'll say, I guess collectively, now that Ethan's in the room, the phrase is software will disrupt most traditional industries in the next 5 to 10 years. True or false?
This is speaking as to now or will happen in the next 5 to 10 years.
It is written in 2017.
Okay.
So it has this happened?
It's on its way to. It's in the...
You would say yes.
It is currently in the process of happening.
I will say yes as well. You can ding the bell. So that one's a yes. Thank you. All right, next one. Artificial intelligence. Computers will become exponentially better in understanding the world. This year, as in 2017, a computer beat the best Go player in the world 10 years earlier than expected. The prediction is computers will become exponentially better in understanding the world.
Yeah, I would agree with that because, I mean, I use AI software on a daily basis, and you can see it from even 6 months ago. It's exponentially better than what it was the previous 6 months.
100% agree. You?
Yeah, I would say similar. If it hasn't already happened, it's well on its way to happening. I think we're still seeing, right, you know, the errors within some of these AI softwares, but it won't be long before... That just is so rare, I have to imagine.
Ding the bell. So, if you study law, stop immediately. There will be 90% less lawyers in the future. Only specialists will remain.
Yeah, I disagree with that.
I don't think that's happened.
No, it definitely hasn't happened. What would the reasoning be?
Well, the reasoning is that there's such good software and AI that was coming at the time and should be here by now, that the average person wouldn't need to talk to a lawyer about legal matters.
Because
they could just look it up with this.
They expect people to do the work to do that?
That is kind of true. Like, the information is there, but most legal matters, you still need somebody to put it together for you.
Right.
Or to walk you through the processing of it with your state or the government. So... Yes, you can get the info, but you can't really do everything with it.
No.
I mean, somebody's going to come along and go, well, LegalZoom can do this and that.
I'll tell you what's interesting about that, though, is I was talking to Brad Young about this. This has been a couple weeks ago when he was hosting. He said that AI still makes up cases. It just fabricates case law out of thin air to cite when it writes a legal decision.
It'll just in this case, blank versus blank, it's like, that's not a real thing.
Oh, that's right. I've heard that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. He was talking about a fairly large firm that got busted using that because of that reason, and they faced some hefty fines.
Yeah. Okay, so we're no on that one, right?
No.
Okay.
No bell on that one.
No. I was trying to pull up a buzzer, but doesn't seem to be playing. There we go.
What a terrible... You know what that sounded like?
That's the longest buzzer ever.
That sounded like a ringing into an apartment.
I'll tell you what. I got the Price is Right losing horn. We can use that.
Do that. Do that.
Thank God.
Okay, next one. There is software at the time, 2017, that helps nurses diagnose cancer that's more accurate than human nurses. Facebook now has pattern recognition software that can recognize faces better than humans. Here's the prediction. In 2030, so we're not there yet, computers will become more intelligent than humans.
2030, more intelligent than humans. It's
four and a half years away.
Yeah, it's not that far away.
Yeah, no, that's. I think that they eventually will, but not in 4 or 5.5 years.
I think they will.
So you're split.
I think they will.
We got a yes and a no.
Yeah.
I have a hard time defining the word intelligent.
Mm-hmm. Fair.
Because, yes, a computer or the cloud, for that matter, can have way more information than you, but does that mean it can interpret that information better than you? By 2030, I'm still going to say no. So I'm a no.
I look at how fast AI has grown in the past year compared to the last 10 years prior to that. I mean, most of these things, I mean, this. I bet that this list, our answers to the things on this list look completely different a year ago. But because it has moved so fast in the past year, I expect it to continue to move at that pace.
Yeah, it's going to exponentially grow for sure.
So two or three no's?
Two or three no's. Thank you, autonomous cars. In 2018, the first self-driving cars will appear for the public. Around 2020, the complete industry will start to be disrupted. You don't want to own a car anymore. You will call a car with your phone. It will show up at your location and drive you to your destination. You will not need to park it, only pay for the driven distance, and you can be productive while driving. Our kids will never get a driver's license and will never own a car.
Yeah, that's definitely
not happening.
I disagree
with that.
That's a big old no.
It didn't happen, but I guess my question is, do you think it still will by 10 years from now?
No. Mm-hmm. No, they do have something similar to that. I forget the name of that cab company.
Yeah, there's a couple of them.
Wego. That's what Wego. It was. Yeah, because during the riots, the rioters were calling Wego cabs and then setting them on fire.
Yeah.
And so they moved them
what?
Out.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Come
but,
to me.
There is a certain segment of the population that will be down for that, and there will be a certain segment of the population who I would consider myself one that just likes driving, that likes doing that sort of thing, and so they will still continue to drive.
Yeah, convince the Midwestern folk or even the people, you know, living up in North Dakota to have a self-driving car.
I'm going to disagree. I think this still will happen within 10 years.
I think you're crazy.
I think that we will, even here in St. Louis in the Midwest, have the option, not that you will always use it, but you'll have the option of not driving anywhere if you don't want to. That your app can just click in.
Anywhere in the country.
Something will come and pick you up and drive you wherever you want to go. I think that will be in existence within 10 years, 12 years, because that's...
You're outnumbered.
Two or three no's?
I guess so.
Wait.
Yeah.
I thought we were... Oh, wait. It was two or three
You guys
no's.
Agreed that it was a no.
Oh, man. I hit the bell.
For most car companies, they will become bankrupt. Traditional car companies are still trying the evolutionary approach of just building a better car, while tech companies like Tesla, Apple, Google will do the revolutionary approach and build a computer on wheels.
Nah.
So the question is that most will become bankrupt.
Traditional car companies will no longer have a role in our society.
Listen. In 10 years?
that's a lot of collapse in
that's
10 years.
That's a lot of collapse. I'm going to say no to
I'm
that.
I'm also going to say no, but if you were to ask me in 20 years, maybe I'm thinking about it a little
the
bit.
The underlying premise of what they're saying is probably true, mm-hmm. that you'd have to evolve...
I'll tell you what, though. I'll disagree on that because I don't think that there's that much difference between the way Tesla builds an EV and Ford builds an EV.
Well, that's what I'm saying, but Ford's evolving to do that, though.
Right, but what they're saying is that evolutionary model won't work. You need to start from zero and build something new, like Apple creates a car. That's not going to happen.
Well, I think we're all we're all no's on this one anyway. So it doesn't really matter how you get there. Insurance companies will have massive trouble because without accidents... the insurance will become 100 times cheaper.
Yeah, I'm just going to hit the buzzer. Right.
Real estate will change. Now, keep in mind, this is before COVID, so they didn't know any of this. Real estate will change because if you can work while you commute, people will move further away to live in a more beautiful neighborhood or nicer place.
Oh, yeah, work from home already changed that. People will live farther away for non-commuting purposes.
I think I would agree, even though we are seeing a little bit of a walk back from that, I still think that it's not going to be as strong of a walk back as, you know, the change was during COVID.
Yeah, I'm going to agree on this too, but if the reasons that they got there are not the reasons why it happened.
Yeah.
So right. Because they were saying that you would be able to just go into work easier because of self-driving cars and all the other things, when in actuality, a lot of people just don't even have to go into work at all. So you can move out further. Electric cars will become mainstream about 2020. Cities will be less noisy because all new cars will run on electricity. Electricity will become incredibly cheap and clean.
Okay.
A lot of claims in there.
Yeah. Mainstream, yes. Cities less noisy because, no, they're not that affordable.
People, they still got horns.
Yeah. And then electricity has not become more clean and affordable.
Electricity has not gotten cheaper at all. They did not anticipate 4 years of Joe Biden when they wrote this. And the crazy regulations that have been put in place that have now made our electricity not cheaper, maybe a little cleaner, but not significantly. So that's a no, right?
Nope.
2017, again, it says, at the end of this year, new smartphones will have 3D scanning possibilities. You can then 3D scan your feet and print your perfect shoe at home.
By 2030?
No. This is, well, I guess technically, yes. They didn't give a year.
No way, Jose.
Yeah, no, that's not going
to
happen.
I guess the question is, do you think it's going to be common for people to be printing their own shoes at home?
No.
Unless everyone has their own 3D printer, which that's not happening.
Well, 3D shoe printer, too, because right now it's like lines of plastic.
And they're all hard plastic. Are you going to walk around wearing big like boots that are orange and blue?
There's like clogs made out of plastic.
Goofy colors. That's a no. In China, they already 3D printed and built a complete six-story office building. By 2027, here's what I like the specifics. That's only a couple years away. Yeah. That's 2 years from now. By 2027, 10% of everything that's being produced will be 3D printed.
Ooh. Of everything that's produced, so it's not just homes.
Do we know what percentage it's at now?
No. No, we do not. It might be close to that. I have no idea. I don't think it is, though.
There is a lot more that is 3D printed than you would imagine.
See, that's what I was afraid
of. But I don't think that it's 10% of everything yet. There's parts of stuff.
Hannaford's Googling it right now. I can tell by the look on his face.
Yeah, it's not really giving me
it
much
won't
here,
tell you, will it?
I don't know.
Nobody knows. Are we a no on this?
I'm going to say no.
I think I'm going to say a no due to lack of information.
Yeah. It's a no because we don't know, and that's so close. That unless we all knew, 10% is about where we are now,
right.
I don't think we'll get there.
Yeah.
If it doesn't work with your phone, forget the idea. Smartphones existed, and most people probably were beginning to adopt them at this point, but I don't know that everybody had one. Any idea designed for success in the 20th century must work with your phone.
Yeah, I think that's about where we're at now.
Yeah, I would agree. I think I would agree.
I would agree, too. We'll stop there, and we will come back with whatever we're calling Ethan's segment, local and sports. And then we do have a few more of these that we'll probably hit after that segment. But we will find out what is new from the weekend in local and sports news with Ethan next. Ethan, tell everybody about your sunburn.
Oh, my God. If you see me wincing on the YouTube video today, it's because my shoulders are absolutely torched from that Lake of the Ozarks sun, and I'm dying over here, basically.
In between segments, like at the top of the hour when we have a couple minutes, I walk out of here to get a drink or something, and I'll walk past an office, and Ethan's just privately holed up in it, rubbing oils on himself. And it's a little weird, man.
Okay.
You're in an office place.
Make it seem like something sus is going on over here. That is not
oil.
Appreciated.
What are you doing? I'm just oiling myself.
It's like
man.
The Bactine spray with the lidocaine in it.
I don't know what you're rubbing on yourself.
I just told you what I'm rubbing on myself.
He's glistening.
And aloe, for God's sake.
I know
sake.
That the office is dark and you're in it and your shirt is halfway off.
Actually, it was all the way off.
Well.
You wanted to know.
The smooth jazz music was a little much, though.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I like this idea. Ender, oiling with Ethan for the next local.
Oiling with Ethan.
Oiling with Ethan.
Hold up. Check it out.
Sports and local.
Ethan and the Giant Peach.
I don't know, man. That was a listener suggestion. I was like, what?
I actually like that.
Does that have any connection to anything?
James,
I know
the
James
Giant
and the
Peach.
Giant Peach, but what does that mean?
I don't know, but it's just kind of funny.
I know. It kind of rolled off the tongue. I'm like,
I love
okay.
that you're like, that doesn't make sense. You're the one that started off, I think the second day, you said it was like Mega Muffins.
Oh, trust me.
Didn't even say my name in it.
When we get back into the ones that I made up, which is tomorrow, they're going even further off the rails. Ethan the Giant Peach would be in that category, but I don't know.
This one didn't say sports and local either. It just said Ethan and the Giant Peach.
Yeah,
did
it did.
Oh, it did say sports and local? Sports okay. Local. I guess I was just so distracted by the Giant Peach that I didn't even connect it here. We'll go ahead and start off with some sports today. This past weekend, the Cardinals made their first trade near the trade deadline, coming up here in just a couple of days on the 31st. They traded pitcher Eric Fetty to the Atlanta Braves. If you remember from last week, I mentioned that they had designated him for assignment, basically meaning that there's a 10-day period that opens up, and they're saying, hey, if you're not traded, you're getting released. In that time, the Cardinals were able to find a suitor. So their return, here's the funny part, is it said either player to be named later or cash considerations. So
but didn't they also have to trade cash considerations with him? I saw something that was like Fetty and cash considerations to Atlanta.
For nothing?
For
cash considerations?
For a player to be named later or cash considerations.
Here it says, let's see, Braves announced that they had acquired Fetty and cash considerations in exchange for a player to be named later or cash considerations.
Is one of those cash considerations actually a person named cash considerations?
How funny would that be? There's a guy named cash considerations, just big old chain.
Does it just mean that they're paying now for a possible player later, and then if they don't take a player, they just get their money back?
If they got a player, it would be a very low level prospect, or they would get a few hundred thousand or whatever back. He's not really, his contract was, I mean, he was owed a couple million for the rest of the year, so it's not like this is groundbreaking or anything. The only thing that, you know, you could say is the Cardinals maybe didn't handle this situation the best. This is a guy that they traded for at last year's trade deadline, and a lot of people said, oh, this is a great trade. He was part of the Tommy Edman trade that sent him to Los Angeles, and he was really good.
Man.
He was really good up until probably 6 weeks ago, was, you know, at minimum, a league average starter, and then things just fell off the rails in the last several starts.
So bad that they just dropped the guy.
So
I mean, that had to be a big surprise.
The frustrating part for fans was that they've had one of their previous first round picks has been knocking at the door to pitch in the majors now for all season long, and the argument was that why are we still rolling with Eric Fetty when he's ready to go and he's looked so much better than him when he's had the opportunity? And it came down to really they were trying to find any value on the market for Eric Fetty, maybe get him a couple of better starts, and it never got better, unfortunately.
In the business world, they call that the sunk cost fallacy. You've said we've invested so much in this that we can't back off of it yet. We've got to get something back out of it.
And, it's always hindsight's 2020, but this one I don't think worked out in the favor of the Cardinals.
So they're going to get back somebody that either nobody cares about who's too young or nobody cares about who's too old, which might be Julio Franco.
What a name pull.
What's Bartolo Colon up to these
days?
What
a name pull. Bartolo Colon has liked two of my tweets in the last few months on Twitter.
Weird. Oh, that's weird.
That's a huge W.
I know. It's usually like when I see the video of him hitting the home run that he did a few years ago, and I like say something about him. He always likes it, so I appreciate that, Bartolo. In other news, St. Louis, we'll switch to the local. I don't know if this is a good thing or if this is a depressing thing, but a new report has found that the St. Louis region has some of the least congested traffic among major U.S. metropolitan cities.
I would agree with that.
Except when they're doing construction, man.
Is this a good or a bad thing that there is no bad traffic here?
Ooh.
Not a lot of traffic.
That's a good question.
Well, good for me, bad for the city.
I would think so. I would think that that's probably not a good sign for the city.
Yeah, it's a bad sign.
So Consumer Affairs, an American consumer news platform, released a report earlier this month identifying the U.S. metropolitan areas with the worst traffic. The report used data from the U.S. Census Bureau, Federal Highway Administration, and a couple of other administrations to evaluate traffic congestion in the 50 most populous metropolitan areas. And according to the report, St. Louis as a region ranked fifth for least traffic congestion, recognized as one of the smoothest commutes across the nation.
Have you guys seen the videos that are showing up all over the place of Los Angeles traffic?
And being empty now?
Yes.
But I can't tell if I'm being played by social media and, hey, you know, it's early on a Sunday, and so it's not that busy.
So I have a friend who used to live in that area, and I was asking this person about this, and they dug into it, and they're like, "It's the times are down." He said, "These are really good times for this time of day." So
it's
there's,
real.
There's something to it. It's not the
It's not the empty roads that
right,
people are
but
reporting.
He, like the travel times, he goes, "That's unheard of."
I just saw today somebody walking around Disneyland who is an influencer. And I guess there are people that do that. They just walk around either one theme park and they make it their thing. Disney's one a big one. Or multiple theme parks, then they do that. They were walking around Disneyland, and today is the end of summer. This is supposed to be a fairly busy time for Disneyland, especially, you know, people right before you go back to school, they all spike. So this is a busy time. And it was empty. It was like 10:30 in the morning there, and it was nobody there. And I, again, though, I'm like, are you engagement farming and showing me what just happened to be a moment that you walked by and you're like, oh, wow, look at this view, and then cut that clip? Or is it real? And it's interesting to hear that your friend.
There's something to it. Not a lot, but yeah.
Is saying that there is something true about the less traffic thing.
Consumer Affairs found that the St. Louis Metro had an average daily commute of 25.2 minutes. Average weekday congestion time of 1 hour and 5 minutes, and a fatal crash rate of 9.29 per 100,000, all below U.S. averages. The only four metros to rank better than St. Louis overall. Any guesses out there?
Pittsburgh.
Paducah, Kentucky.
Kentucky? I've never heard of Kentucky.
Kentucky.
Neither of those are in it, so I'll go ahead and
connect.
I'll throw them out there. Rochester, New York.
Ah, that's what I was going to say.
It's on the tip of my tongue.
Salt Lake City, Utah.
Okay.
Cleveland, Ohio, and Hartford, Connecticut. Those are the only four. So for the people that live here, I think it's a good thing, right? I mean, being able to live in St. Charles and it be a 25 to 30 minute drive, that's pretty ideal. But for the city as a whole, like you said, you know, the better the traffic is, it tends to mean also to a certain extent there's not enough cars here, not enough, you know, not enough people in the city.
Or at least people are not driving to work anymore. Because it could still be hybrid work. Because that did definitely affect things. Do you have one more?
Do you want me to have one more?
You can do one quick. We got a little bit of time.
I'll go back. I'll throw it back to sports here on this one. The Cardinals, big news in their prospect system today. Tekoa Robey, one of their top prospects, they just announced that he had to get Tommy John surgery. Mm. So he's going to be out the rest of this year and all of 2026. This is a guy that had been making strides, was a part of when the Cardinals sold at the trade deadline a couple of years ago. He was a guy that they got back from Texas for Jordan Montgomery. And there was talks that he could potentially be a guy that might be a starting pitcher for them next season to start off the year. And unfortunately now he's going to miss a lot of time, and the Cardinals are going to have to figure out, you know, who to fill those holes with for the 2026 season.
Real quick, what's your prediction for 2026? We know what this season is
going to
be.
They are not going to be full-on World Series contender at that point, but I think that they will continue to move in the right direction, and I feel better about them.
Why will they be better? What's the main reason they'll be better?
2025, they have continued to find who their core is going to be. They're going to have new leadership coming in that's going to be able to add the accent pieces that they need to get back to the Cardinals of old.
Okay. We'll come right back and I think hit the rest of these predictions from roughly 10 years ago. And decide whether they have come true or not. Stick around. The Manny Fry Show. We were and are going through LinkedIn's predictions for the American economy over the next 20 years, of which we are about 10 years in. We're actually about 8.5 years in. But it's a good checkpoint here to see whether some of the things that they're predicting are going to happen. So far, it's been a mixed bag. We are to this one now, guys. 70 to 80% of jobs. Now, again, if you're just tuning in, let me set this up. In 2017, they put out this list saying this is what's going to happen in workplaces, in the economy over the next 20 years. We are now 8.5 years in. Okay, there we go. 70 to 80% of jobs will disappear in the next 20 years. There will be a lot of new jobs, but it's not clear if there will be enough new jobs in such a small time.
No, I disagree with that.
That definitely did not happen.
What was the percentage?
70 to 80% of jobs will disappear in the next 20 years.
It's a little strong.
We're not 20 years in, but we're about halfway there. Not even close.
Mm. There are always new jobs that develop whenever technology advances.
Well, I think that's what they're saying, but they led with 70 to 80% of jobs will disappear. They haven't disappeared, but you know, maybe some have shifted. This just seems like
what jobs don't exist anymore that were here
10 years ago?
10 years ago.
That's a good question. I don't know. I really can't think of anything.
Maybe one or two jobs.
I'm sure there are gone,
but
what's happening is automation is taking things over. I walked into McDonald's a couple weekends ago, and the one that I went to had nobody at the front desk. You only had to order at the kiosk. Now, somebody would come up and help you if you needed it. But that kind of stuff is what you're seeing more than anything. And maybe in office jobs, I've heard people say that people who were exclusively editors and writers are having a tougher time getting work because you don't need them as much because of AI. But that's not 70 to 80% of jobs.
Yeah.
So this is a definite no. Thanks for playing the buzzer.
You got it.
Yeah.
Agriculture. These are what I should have led with these because they're the craziest ones. There will be a $100 agricultural robot in the future. Farmers in third world countries can then become managers of their field instead of working all day on their field.
By 2030. There's 0% chance Optimus is going to cost $100.
There are, at current, zero farm robots that I'm aware of.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at, like, you know, humanoid robot picking crops, yeah, you're right. If you consider, like, tractors and stuff like that are automated and basically, like, once you're in the field, they're GPS run and you don't steer or anything like that, then you kind of have them. But those are hundreds of thousands of dollars, not $100.
Yeah, this says $100 agricultural robot.
Nope.
No. There are several startups who will bring insect protein to the market shortly. It contains more protein than meat. It will be labeled as alternative protein source because most people still reject the idea of eating insects.
They continue to reject that idea. This one's a no.
It just says that this will exist. It's not specific to a certain market share or anything like this. But it really isn't even a thing.
People have had a huge backlash to the idea of we're going to make you eat bugs.
Yes, they have.
We're not going to eat the bugs. And if you put anything that gives anybody an idea that this came from bugs, they're like, no. And then your company folds and disappears.
It's true. I think this is probably, you know what, though? It's still 10, 12 years away that this could happen. Because it's not saying that it'll be a major thing. It just says there will be insect protein as a part of the market.
It's disgusting. I'm looking at pictures of...
Look, you can dislike it. I'm just asking
maggots
you whether you think...
crickets and...
Cricket pops.
Do you think in 10 years, this could be a part of the market, even if you don't like it? Could it
be?
You
know what? I'm going to tell you which part of the market is going to end up eating these things. All the granola people. That's who... All the granola people...
The crunchy moms.
That wear flip-flops and Chacos and get their groceries at Whole Foods... This is the crowd that's going to end up eating insect protein.
So you're a yes.
Not really, but kind of.
I'm a no. I'm a hard no.
You're a hard no.
I'm a no to, but except for that very small group of people.
I'm actually going to have to say no just based on the current trajectory. Yeah. This just hasn't gone anywhere.
Nobody is interested in that.
So we got a buzzer on that one. However, I will add, because I'm the odd one on this show, even when Andy's here and we talk about this topic, I'm not opposed to this being an option. As long as it tastes good, I'm okay with it. In fact, I would try it. If they come up with a hamburger that's like, yeah, that's all worms, but you can't tell, I would eat it.
But why would you eat a worm burger that tastes like beef burger if you could just have a beef burger?
If it's cheaper. If it's way cheaper. Like if beef skyrockets,
nope,
which it kind of is.
Not a chance.
Then, and I could get a 50-cent hamburger again, and I wouldn't even know the difference, I would do it.
Oh, you're you like make me Sylvester sick. Stallone in Demolition.
You guys, so you disgusting. Keep missing the phrase. If I don't know it, if I don't know the difference,
but
if
you'll
it tastes
know
the same,
it because they'll have to tell you.
They will have to tell you, but you, then you just got to get past the
you
mental
know how
block.
It's going to be different. There's going to be a freaking worm on your burger.
No, it's made of that.
They'll just put
it's
one
not
right
a worm
on top of,
on top of a beef burger.
Well, I'm picturing a worm, and you can't change that in my mind.
Yeah, I'll have a hamburger. Can you put several dead tapeworms on
remember
it?
That,
instead
oh,
of,
remember gross. That movie? All right, next one, Ryan. Move on.
Remember that movie, what?
How to Eat Fried Worms?
No. There's an app called Moody's, which can already tell which mood you're in. By 2020, there will be apps that can tell your facial expressions if you are lying or telling the truth. Imagine a political debate where it's being displayed when they're telling the truth and when they're not, according to some app.
Man, just a little bit too late. Can you imagine if we would have had that in the 2024 debate? With Trump and Biden.
I'd be interested
how
in watching
awesome
it.
How awesome would that have been? Because it adds a whole new aspect of like, oh, are they going to get called out on like what they said if it's not true? That would be so funny.
Nobody would agree to it.
No.
Nobody would ever agree to that.
No.
So this is ridiculous.
And
there's no way that would happen.
And then you have to mess around with, you know, does it get biased? You know, there's all kinds of messy stuff that it could
even,
go from
you can't
there.
Even get a lie detector test in admissible in court
yeah.
because they're not reliable enough. It's going to be the same way with that.
Yeah,
so
this
no.
will never happen. Last one, and big one. Bitcoin may become the default reserve currency of the world.
No.
12 years away.
No way.
Not of the world.
Zero.
It will not, but let me put this wrinkle in there. It has, since 2017, Bitcoin, you know, you could make the argument at that point that they were making a really big, bold prediction that Bitcoin would even be existing. Bitcoin is a big part of the discussion right now still. So in that sense, I'll give them credit for making a maybe controversial, big opinion prediction there. That hasn't really come true, but is still very much part of the debate. I mean, we just had legislation on it 2 weeks ago. So it's. I think this is a pretty cool prediction, even
if it
hasn't happened.
But I can't see it becoming the reserve currency.
It is the reserve currency of a couple of Latin American nations
already.
Oh,
I could see that. Yeah, definitely smaller nations picking it up. Yeah, I could definitely see that.
But I think we have to say no.
Yeah, no.
It's a no for me, dog.
I think that it was a good one to end on, though, even though it's a buzzer. We'll take a short break. We got one more segment. We'll give you the results of the YouTube live chat.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Poll, how quickly will the tariff deals noticeably impact your life? We'll find out when we come back. Gonna bring the flame, I'll show you how.
What do you say when it's over? Don't know if I should say anything. Oh.
Ryan Wiggins filling in for Annie Fry, who will be back tomorrow. Brad Range, Ethan Hannaford in for the Manny Fry Show. We hand it over to the Reardon Show here shortly. I wanted to give a big shout out to my grandma, who had a birthday over the weekend and turned 93.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, very, very cool, very proud of being a part of Grandma Wiggins' life.
Can she say the same, though?
Nah.
I figured.
Not really. You know what? If she heard me say that, she would scold me for saying that about her, about me.
That she's not proud of you?
She's very proud of me. She was born in 1932, and she had a bunch of birthday cards over at her house this weekend. And they were cool because they had a bunch of stats about, they were the ones, year you were born, what was going on. And it was pop music was stuff that I had never even heard of. I mean, it was, they always have the categories of this was the most popular song, this was the movie, and this and that. The population in 1932 of the entire world was 2 billion.
Wow.
That's how fast the population.
We're over 8 billion now, aren't we?
We're over 8 now. So 1932.
That's crazy.
93 years ago, 2 billion people in the world, now 8 billion. And yet, we're having this conversation that up until the last year or two was the opposite. It was, because you hear stats like that and you go, oh man, we are outpacing ourselves. But we're not. The technology keeps getting better at the rate that we grow. And it's almost as if God is providing for us in a way as we grow and multiply and become fruitful. But in the last couple of years, it's become the reverse, partially because of Elon Musk having a whole lot of intercourse with a whole lot of women.
That's one way to put it.
That is one way to put it. He wants everybody to know that it's good that he's having lots of children. But the stats that he's bringing up are true, that you have to have a replacement number for your society unless it starts to implode. Japan is starting to deal with this. China apparently is just about to start dealing with this. They're real close. They haven't quite gotten there. It's because of their one-child policy and many other factors. But it's funny because Japan is very open about their economy and their culture. China is not. China's very closed off. And so when you hear stats like that, it's like they sort of pop up and they go away because China does not share any of that stuff. They don't share how well they're doing. They manipulate their currency. They do all kinds of stuff to make sure that nobody knows how good or bad things are there, although they'll tell you about the good. But the Trump administration is looking for incentives for Americans to have more kids. And part of that's in the Big Beautiful Bill. You know, there's going to be incentives for kids being born starting July 4th of next year. I would say that's a little bit of a controversial aspect of the Big Beautiful Bill, because I don't think that conservatives really love the idea of just starting a fund for kids out of the government money. But that's kind of what it is. It's not really a big fund, but it's a little one. But they're looking for ways, and I do like the goal overall, of making sure that the population of the United States continues to grow. Do you know when it stopped growing from natural birth? Because we're still growing from immigration. But do you know when it stopped?
1996.
It was 2008, 2009.
Wow.
And they attributed at the time, because it dropped from being about even, where every woman was having about two children, which was, you know, equal, to about 1.8. And now it's at 1.6. So it continued to drop. They assumed at the time that it was because of the recession, that, well, people are putting off having babies because they want to make sure economically they're okay. But it never came back. So we're in the same place that Europe has been for quite a while. Japan's been for quite a while. But we have not. We had been holding steady until about 2009. And now we are also declining in population aside from immigration. And I'm not even making that a big point here. I'm just saying that's a fact. So, interesting to see what else the Trump administration might do. They expanded the child tax credit a little bit in the Big Beautiful Bill, but I was hoping they would do a little bit more than that. They're still focusing on it. The results of the YouTube live chat poll are forthcoming. How quickly will the tariff deals noticeably impact your life? I don't think that we've answered this question yet. Brad, how do you answer that question?
Yeah, I was looking at this, and I was initially going to vote right away. I think that these deals will happen and impact you in a noticeable way right away. I think I'm still going to stick with that, because I think what you're going to see is that impacting you, especially, you know, if you've got a 401k or stock, you know, you see the stock markets, see that stability starting to form, and they see that things aren't being harmed by them and stuff, and that stock market's going to take off, and you'll notice that in your investments and funds like that. If you don't have investments, it'll be a little bit longer, but I think right away is what I would vote.
Katie online says, I voted 1 year, but I don't really know. I figure just in time for the midterms, the Democrats will be sure to make everyone aware of any effects the tariffs may have had. I think that's assuming that they would be negative, which it could be either way. I mean, we didn't say really which way. Janine says, I voted 1 year, though I believe it will be sooner, just not immediately. Ethan, do you have an answer to this question?
I put 1 year, more so due to it's good. I would be surprised if it is immediate. I think the last answer you just put up on the board was probably something more so that I would be relating to as well. Not going to be immediate, but maybe before a year.
I think there is a right away impact. I was tempted to vote that way based on the fact that we've had now a budget surplus 2 months in a row. Mm-hmm. That's an immediate impact, but it's not necessarily on my life.
Yeah.
At least directly. So I'm going to say the end of Trump's term. That's when you're really going to see a lot of these companies will have moved here, established plants here. You're going to see the job numbers affected by it and the economy overall affected by it. I would say end of Trump's term. What's the result of the poll?
172 votes on today's YouTube live chat poll. How quickly will the tariff deals noticeably impact your life? 53% say 1 year. 24% say no impact or never. 17% say right away, and 5% say the end of Trump's term.
I would wonder if the majority of the people are assuming that they would have a positive impact, because we left that open to interpretation. Well, I'm Ryan Wiggins. I will be back tomorrow along with Brad Range and Ethan Hannaford, but in a little bit different role. Back into the normal chair as Annie Fry returns. We will see you tomorrow. I'm not a married
sweetheart. You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.